यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन बल्लवा गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना जमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे हरे जय किशोर किशोरी जय किशोर किशोरी जय किशोर किशोरी जय किशोर किशोरी जय जगतनाथ जगतनाथ बलदेवा जय सुभद्रा जय गौरानिताई 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 जय गौरानिताई जय प्रभुपदा 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 जय प्रभुपदा जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद जय ओम विष्णु पाद परमहंसा परिभाजक आचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय जय ओम विष्णु पाद परमहंसा परिभाजक आचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की जय वृंदावन धाम की जय नवदीप मायापुर धाम की जय पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय गंगा माई की जय जमुना माई की जय भक्ति देवी तुलसी महारानी की जय श्री श्री किशोर किशोरी की जय श्री जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रा महारानी की जय श्री श्री गौर निताई की जय श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय निताई गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू गुरु एंड गौरंगा नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैवं नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जय मुदीरयेत् नष्ट प्रायेषु अवद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Texts 23 and 24. I'll read the text number 23. Sri Prahlada Uvacha Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padam Sevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atma Nivedanam Shri Prahlada Uvacha Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Samaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanivedanam Shri Prahlada Uvacha श्रवणं कीर्तनं विष्णो स्मरणं पदसेवनं आर्चनं वंदनं दास्यं साख्यं आत्मनिवेदनं शरणं कीर्तनं विष्णो स्मरणं पदसेवनं आर्चनं वंदनं दास्यं साख्यं आत्मनिवेदनं शरणं कीर्तनं विष्णो स्मरणं पदसेवनं अर्चनं वंदनं दास्यं साख्यं आत्मनिवेदनं शरणं कीर्तनं विष्णो शरणं पादसेवनं शरणं वंदनं दास्यं साख्यं आत्मनिवेदनं श्री प्रह्लाद उवाच श्रवणं कीर्तनं विष्णो स्मरणं पादसेवनं आर्चनं वंदनं दास्यं साख्यं आत्मनिवेदनं श्रवणं कीर्तनं विष्णो स्मरणं पादसेवनं आर्चनं वंदनं दास्यं साख्यं आत्मनिवेदनं श्री प्रह्लाद उवाच प्रह्लाद महाराज सेड श्रवणं हियरिंग कीर्तनं चैंटिंग विष्णु of Lord Vishnu, Smaranam, remembering, Padasevanam, serving the feet, Archanam, offering worship with offering worship with Sodaspochara, the 16 kinds of paraphernalia. Kinds of paraphernalia. Vandanam, offering prayers. Dasyam, becoming the servant. Sakhyam, becoming the best friend. Atmanivedanam, surrendering everything, whatever one has. The next verse, the synonyms. Iti, thus, Pumsa Arpita, offered by the devotee, Vishnu, unto Lord Vishnu, Bhakti, devotional service, Chet, if, Nava Lakshana, possessing 9 different processes, Kriyeta, one should perform Bhagavati unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Adha, directly or completely, Tat, that, Maniye, I consider, Adhitam, learning, Uttamam, topmost. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Prahlad Maharaj said, hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming his servant, considering the Lord one's best friend, and surrendering everything unto him. In other words, serving him with the body, mind, and words. These 9 processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these 9 methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. I believe we are reading today paragraph 3, which reads, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives the following explanation in his Tathya. The word Shravana refers to giving oral reception to the holy name and descriptions of the Lord's form, qualities, entourage, and pastimes as explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and similar authorized scriptures. After orally receiving such messages, one should memorize these vibrations and repeat them. Kirtanam. Smaranam means trying to understand more and more about the Supreme Lord, and Pad Sevanam means engaging oneself in serving the lotus feet of the Lord according to the time and circumstances. Archanam means worshipping Lord Vishnu as one does in the temple, and Vandanam means offering respectful obeisances. Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskaru. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text number 65. Vandanam means namaskaru, offering obeisances or offering prayers. Thinking oneself to be Nitya Krishna Das, everlastingly a servant of Krishna, is called Dasyam. And Sakhyam means being a well-wisher of Krishna. Krishna wants everyone to surrender unto him, because everyone is constitutionally his servant. Therefore, as a sincere friend of Krishna, one should preach this philosophy, requesting everyone to surrender unto Krishna. Atma Nivedanam means offering Krishna everything, including one's body, mind, intelligence, and whatever one may possess. Om Gyan Timurandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Taru Bhishta Kirpa Sindhu Bhaya Ivacha Patita Nam Pavne Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advait Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you so much for being here this morning. We have been discussing this verse for last 2 days. And it's such an important verse and has so much of meaning in it that one can continue to discuss this for several weeks. Yes, it's one of the largest purports. And here I see that text number 23, Prabhupada in the purport has written about each and every word. And there's a description running into, you know, several paragraphs for each and every word. I don't think there are any more, at least I'm not aware of any other verse which has such detailed purport. So, I do not see many parents here, just maybe 2. It's quite a normal process for a parent to be concerned about the kind of education his or her children are getting. Maybe you don't have children, but you were children once upon a time. And I'm sure when you went to school, your parents must have also, you know, paid some attention to your education. And quite likely, they must have been invited to participate in parents-teacher conferences and things like that, where the teachers discuss how you are doing in the studies, what you are learning, what you are not learning, and so on. So Hiranyakashipu is also, in that respect, a typical parent. He was very much concerned what his son Prahlad is learning in school. So he would invite his teachers, Prahlad Maharaj teachers, to his court and ask them about what he is doing. And they were, of course, asked to train Prahlad Maharaj to become the next king of the kingdom of demons. So Hiranyakashipu had given certain instructions to his teachers, and he was following up how Prahlad Maharaj is, coming up in that respect in his class. So in the previous verse, Prahlad Maharaj is, pays obeisances to his father, which makes him really very happy. So he picks him up. He is, Prahlad Maharaj is sitting in his lap, Hiranyakashipu's lap, and Hiranyakashipu again asks him the question which he had been, asking from time to time. What are you learning in the school? And he is genuinely concerned because Prahlad Maharaj is next in line for the throne. So it is very, very important for a king to know that the person who is going to inherit the kingdom should be qualified. The differences, qualifications for different people may mean different things. So here, the idea of qualification which Hiranyakashipu had was very different than the idea which Prahlad Maharaj had. So when Hiranyakashipu asked him this question, Prahlad Maharaj this question, he replied in his usual style, which he has been doing earlier also, that there are 9 activities which would qualify one or would qualify as bhakti. And this particular verse is very, very important for us because we are all practicing devotees. We are trying to, we are at certain levels of bhakti. Some are maybe at very, very initial stage, some may be at very advanced stage, but in some way or the other, we are trying to practice bhakti. Why we are practicing bhakti? Because we hear from Krishna and we hear from our different acharyas in Srila Prabhupada that the only way to understand Krishna is by bhakti. That's the only way we can approach him and Krishna will reveal himself. So that's the reason why this particular verse is so important for us. And Prabhupada has taken so much of time to explain each and every word contained in this verse. Not only Srila Prabhupada, even the previous acharyas, they have written a lot of commentaries on this particular verse. So these 9 processes, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his explanation in Tathya, do you know Jaya Jagannath Prabhu, what is Tathya? In Sanskrit, T-A-T-H-Y-A, Tathya. It's a Sanskrit word. It means, actually, Tathya, if we translate it as such, it means truth or reality. So, I haven't ever had the chance to look at this book as such, honestly speaking. I got to know about it when I was reading this particular purport. But when I looked at the meaning of this word Tathya, how important it is, it is truth. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is referring to all these 9 processes as the truth, the reality. And reality which will take us on the right path of bhakti. Anybody who is exhibiting one of these symptoms is in bhakti, somewhere on some stage of bhakti. So we will just quickly go over these because this is what is there in this particular paragraph, and then we can have discussion as well. So the first process is Shravana, that is hearing about the Lord. So this is, we have from time to time in all our preaching activities, from our senior acharyas, our spiritual masters, we hear how the importance of hearing. And Prabhupada says later on in the purport that this is the initial or the beginning of devotional process. When we show eagerness or desire to come to devotional life or a spiritual life, the first thing which we have to do is to hear from others. And this hearing can be of different, hearing can be from different people and of different type. So for example, we have hearing in classes like this. We hear from senior devotees, acharyas, etc. Then we have the option or the opportunity of hearing from other devotees, our associates. Most of you are staying here in the temple, so you have a great opportunity to hear from each other. And not only that, one can even read. Not necessarily oneself, one person can read and the other can hear. So that is another process which Prabhupada has recommended very, very strongly, that we should read his books, and that is really going to help us. Reading means one person is reading and the other are hearing. So hearing is a very, very important process. And just by hearing, one can perfect his devotional service, perfect his bhakti. And we have the example of Maharaj Parikshit. He was a great devotee of the Lord, no doubt about it. But when we are reading these nine processes, if we see the process which he adopted and perfected his life, that is hearing. So just by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Shukdev Goswami, he was able to go back to Godhead. Second symptom or the process is Kirtanam. So Kirtanam comes from word Kirti. Kirti means fame. So once we have heard about Lord, we should be glorifying him. So about not only the Lord himself, but about his paraphernalia, his form, his qualities, etc. So all this comes under Kirtanam. We go for Sankirtanam downtown to different places. That's also we are singing the glories of the Lord. So that is another important process, the second process, which is given by Srila Prahlad Maharaj in this particular verse. Now, Kirtanam, who is the person who has perfected his life by Kirtanam, by glorifying the Lord? Shukdev Goswami. So, what a great example. You know, Shukdev Goswami is speaking to, answering the questions of Parikshit Maharaj. And both of them perfected their life in that process. Then the third process is Smaranam, which is remembering. So, and here, the person who perfected his life by remembering the Lord is Prahlad Maharaj. So see how nice it is, you know. One person is speaking, another person is hearing, and we are talking about Prahlad Maharaj, and all three were perfect devotees. So Prabhupada says that in Kali Yuga, these three processes are very, very important. The other processes are also there, and they are important. And once we are on path of devotion, once we are in bhakti, to some degree or the other, we will have those processes also in our devotional life. But in Kali Yuga, the prescribed method is by singing the glories of the Lord. That is by Kirtanam or remembering the Lord, the Harinam. Then we have the next process is Pad Sevanam, which means, Pad means the feet and Sevanam means serving. So serving the lotus feet of the Lord. And who is the devotee or the person who perfected his or her life by Pad Sevanam? Yeah, goddess of fortune. You did not understand the question. Yeah. No, I was just asking who is the person who perfected his or her life by Pad Sevanam. So that is the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi. And then we have Archanam, which is worshipping. So we do, Prabhupada says that one should try to do some worship as far as possible. And he says one should come to the temple, one should engage oneself in some activities involving worshipping the Lord. And he says those of those devotees who cannot come to the temple for because they are living far away or some other reasons, I mean, most, not you, but some of us are karmis and they have other engagements, worldly engagements. So we can even do the worship at home. And that is also very, very helpful in this process. Then, Vandanam. Okay, going back to Archanam. Who is the devotee who perfected his life by Archanam? No, Prithu Maharaj. Amrish Maharaj has a special qualification. You know that? He had all the nine processes. That's true. So he is like super devotee. So this Archanam, we have here Prithu Maharaj who perfected his life in worshipping the Lord. The next process is Vandanam, which is offering prayers. And this we hear from time to time, at least in some of the programs which we have been having here in our temple. Also, Romapad Maharaj and even other sannyasis, they have emphasized the need of saying prayers to the Lord. And you know, often a reference is made to read the prayers of other devotees who were who had perfected their lives or who were, you know, great worshippers, or we can have our own prayers as well. But one thing which Prabhupada cautions us about is that it shouldn't be a trading, you know, experience, that we are here, we are saying prayers, and our prayers are nothing but asking. We have a big demand list, you know, that Aarti says, which is sung by most Indian devotees or Indian people in India, is Sukh Sampati Gharave, and then Jai Jagdish Hare. So Sukh means happiness, Sampati, money, material gains. Sukh Sampati Gharave. Ghar is house. So I should get all these things, and that's why I'm worshipping you. So when we are worshipping the Lord, we are offering the prayers, we are not, you know, it shouldn't be a demand list that, okay, I need a, you know, house, I need a wife, I need a car, I need good education for my children, and, you know, still I, you know, I come and pray to you. So I'm reminded of, you know, something which happened here, and I don't know if Jai Jagannath Prabhu remembers it or not, but I remember that it was 1st of January. And for us, most of the devotees here in the temple, it was a normal day, nothing special. But there were a lot of activities, you know, a lot of traffic. A lot of people were coming to the temple. And they had, you know, bhoga items they were offering here on the altar and so on. And then he asked, you know, what is so special today? Why there are so many people coming to the temple? And people like us, you know, who engaged in these kind of activities, I said, today is January 1st, you know, the New Year Day. So all these people are coming here because they want to already, you know, it's the beginning of the year, so they just want to talk to the Lord and say, look, today is the beginning. So here I'm coming, I'm offering you all this bhoga, and now in return for the whole year, you have to take care of all my needs. So that is the mentality of karmis with which, you know, they approach the Lord. So that's not what is called praying to the Lord. Praying has to be without any personal benefit personal desire. I mean, Anyabhilashitasunyam, that verse is very, I like that verse very much because it defines the process of bhakti. The desires have to be only to please the Lord, nothing for me in that desire. So, who was the devotee who perfected his life or went back to Godhead by this process of vandana? Akrura Maharaj. Akrura. Next one is simple. Dasyam, serving the Lord, which is our Akrura. Okay. You don't know? Okay, so Srimad Bhagavatam. He is the one who has very nice prayers in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes. So we have to, you know, he was a close associate of the Lord, and he got a lot of opportunity to, you know, associate with Lord Krishna. And when he had the opportunity, and he was given some important tasks also by Lord Krishna in his Leela. So he is the one who went back to Godhead by offering the prayers. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Then Dasyam is serving the Lord, which is our truly constitutional position, to serve the Lord. And if we can perfect in that, then we are definitely going to go back to Godhead. But in Kali Yuga, and also we are conditioned not to accept that position. We know that, we talk about it a lot, that, you know, we have to be, you know, the mood of service. We talk about that a lot. But what do we understand by mood of service? It's a question. Because we talk about it, correct? I think if I ask any one of you, you know, you will say, yes, we have to be in that mood. You know, service is such an important aspect of our process. So we have to have a clear idea about what, you know, service means. Yes, Prabhu. No, it will come, this part of it. Yes, Prabhu. Yes. Good, thank you. Anything else? It is actually a very vast topic. And we have had classes on each of these processes as a Sunday feast class a couple of years ago. And as a matter of fact, on each process, there can be several classes and seminars. But serving the Lord is a very, very important aspect. And one of the reasons I have been talking about it earlier also, the opportunity which we get by being here in the temple and associating ourselves with the temple is of service, which we may not necessarily get if we are not here. Some of us, like I said, I am in employment, but I have been fortunate that I came in contact with some devotees who showed me this path, and I learned the importance of service, and I tried to do whatever little bit I could do, find some time. Some of us may not really know the importance of service, and they really may not, you know, make an effort to even find some time to come and serve or do offer the service in other ways. But most of you who are staying here in the temple, you are really very, very fortunate because you get so many opportunities of serving the Lord in different ways. And as a matter of fact, when we are chanting, when we are doing our japa, what are we asking for? When we try to understand the meaning of Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, what does it mean? What we are chanting? You know, when somebody asks you, you go out for Hari Nam, you talk to, you know, newcomers in the temple and so on. And, you know, people do ask you this question, what is the meaning of this mantra? So what do you tell them? Yes, Carlos Prabhu. Thank you so much. Absolutely right. So we are chanting this. You know, we have, Prabhupada says, chant at least 16 rounds, 16 times 108. So we are chanting this. And, you know, we may get the opportunity to serve. Then are we ready to serve or not? That is the question. And we, I mean, that is what you have to ask yourself. All of us have to ask ourselves. That, you know, I am praying, give me service, and here the service comes, and then what is my reaction to it? You know, very interestingly, you know, I'm chanting, and maybe my chanting was good, so the Lord heard it, and immediately he sent somebody to me, and says, Prabhu, can you wash pots in the kitchen? And I said, I have to complete my japa, you know, so, you know, my chanting was so effective that immediate, you know, result was there, but I lost the opportunity. So that is the service aspect or the mood of service with which we have to be, you know, we have to inculcate that mood that if a service is coming to me, then how should I approach it? Should I let it go or should I grab it? So that is a question which we have to ask ourselves. And also, I'm not saying that one has to give up all other things just because, you know, service and service and service and more service. It could happen. But we have to do under careful guidance. We have to adopt some, you know, services in whichever form it is recommended or in whichever form the temple authorities are requesting you for some services. We have to have a favorable attitude towards that. So the good example for this particular category or this particular process is Hanuman. So all of you know Hanuman? You know Prabhu? Jordan Prabhu? Okay, everybody knows. You know Mataji? Hanuman is the servant of Lord Ram. So he's there. He's always there. Wherever Lord Ram is there, Hanuman will also be there at his lotus feet. And being a servant of the Lord is also a great opportunity. And Lord also makes sure that his servants, they are also glorified. When we glorify Hanuman, we are glorifying Lord Ramchandra also at the same time, and vice versa as well. When Lord Ramchandra is being glorified, even Hanuman is remembered. In all Ramchandra, you know, Ramayana Kathas, there is always a mention of Hanuman so many times. Then the next process is Sakhyam, which is enjoying friendly association of the Lord. Some people are very lucky. They had this opportunity in Vrindavan to be a associate, childhood associate of the Lord. They played with Lord. They used to go for, they used to take their cows in the fields, in the forest, and they used to go together with him and so on. The devotee who perfected his life and went back to Godhead by being a friend of Lord Krishna is Arjun. Arjun, yes. The ninth process is Atmanivedan, which is surrendering everything unto the Lord. So this is a very, very, interesting process, because we talk so much about surrender. And we have to understand the importance of surrender and what does actually surrender means. Because I'm surrendering is very, very easy. But surrendering means like giving up everything practically. You know, Bhakti Vinod Thakur has written books on this process of surrender. His those six angas of surrender, Sharanagati, correct? It's in Sharanagati. He talks about it. And, because we hear so much about surrender, we want to surrender. But again, because we do not know what surrender may mean, our surrender is either not complete or it is adulterated. So adulterated means that, I have my own terms and conditions in which I will surrender. So moment I bring in my own conditions, my own terms, it is not a surrender. That means I'm trying to bargain if I'm putting my conditions in it. So surrender means unconditionally surrender. I'm not putting any condition, I'm yours. You can do whatever you want to do with me. So it is, our Vaishnava culture is so rich. So rich. But sometimes because of our own limited knowledge, we are not able to make full use of it. And I would like to share a very simple example with you. We use the word Prabhu very often, correct? We call everybody Prabhu. I am in a job and I have to speak to so many clients over the phone. And because I'm saying so much, I'm used to saying this word so much that sometimes to clients who may not even understand, I say, yes, Prabhu. So, but what does Prabhu mean? Very easy. But when you say somebody is your master, what are you supposed to do? Follow his orders and follow his instructions. Correct? So when we say Prabhu, when we address another devotee as Prabhu, do we really mean that? For us, it has become just a way of addressing. For some of us, it is just a way of addressing the other person. When I am approaching somebody and say Prabhu, then I have to be in that position that, whatever he tells me, I have to accept it. And but attitude is, somebody, it's a nice anecdote. Somebody is writing a letter to another devotee and he says, Hare Krishna Prabhu, please accept my humble obeisances, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. And then, you are so, you don't do your services well, you are, lazy, you are this, you are that, and so much. Your servant. So, I was so, astonished when I read this that, we are addressing the other person as Prabhu, your servant, your servant, and then I'm telling this person all his, deficiencies, which may or may not exist. That may be my own perception. So, if I'm your servant, and if I am addressing you as Prabhu, I have to accept whatever you are telling me. I cannot find any shortcomings in you. Master is master. Whatever master says, I have to accept it. So I think this is a topic which we can discuss, and I would like to ask Jai Jagannath Prabhu, about, to say something on this, that how he feels about, what I said about Atmanivedan and this process of surrendering. When we are addressing people as Prabhu, what should be our mood and, what should be our relationship? Can we have the mic?
One's mood is going to be one's mood according to his development in Krishna consciousness. So if he's a Kanishtha Adhikari or Madhyama Adhikari, Uttama Adhikari, his mood will be accordingly. Even if he tries to put up a show, let's say if he's of lower Adhikar, Kanishtha Adhikari, he will be where he's at. He will say Prabhu as a matter of formality. It's part of the jargon that we pick up by joining the Krishna Consciousness Movement. That's the way we're supposed to address persons. Until there's maturity in Krishna consciousness, that will be his lot. You know, Prabhu, you know, I don't like you. That will be his lot. Because the Kanishtha Adhikari is defined in that way. Ta bhakteshu cha aneshu. He does not have proper regard for bhaktas and others on account. He just shadaye hate. He has faith in the puja of the Lord, but he does not see the relationship of the devotees and others to the Supreme Lord. So that will be his lot. For the Madhyama Adhikaris, they're able to distinguish in this way. So therefore, Prabhupada writes in the Nectar Instruction Text 5 that Madhyam Adhikar is a platform of the proper cultivation of Krishna consciousness. So devotees have to rise themselves to the platform of Madhyama Adhikar. Then their mood will be accord with their speech. You know, when they say Prabhu, they actually mean it. And sometimes as a service, such Madhyam Adhikar Vaishnavas may have to give some feedback. And that will be his service. That may be his service in relationship to certain entities and so on. So I would just say that people's mood will be their mood according to their maturity in Krishna consciousness. So we hear about the higher levels of Vaishnavas so that we would understand that, oh, so that's the place I need to really be coming in terms of my consciousness. And then after the class, it would be kind of routine, you know, until we mature ourselves in Krishna consciousness.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. So that's the, you know, one of the goals we can say we should have if we are not already have cultivated that mood. So this should be the direction in which we should be going. So any other questions?
Actually, I've heard this point so many times over my years in Krishna consciousness that when we're chanting the Maha Mantra, we're praying for service. And then when service comes, we tend to, well, I'm chanting japa and so on. But chanting japa is a service also. So one way this translation, oh Lord, oh Krishna, Rama, Srimati Radharani, Hara, please engage me in your loving service. That could simply mean please engage me in your japa. Please engage me in your shravanam, your kirtanam, your dasanam. Or smaranam, padasevanam, etc. Because service, after all, begins with shravanam. That's what we're hearing about. Mm-hmm. And so the mood of service is the ground for all the actions of bhakti, shravanam, kirtanam, or whatever. So oftentimes when I've heard this statement used, it's always used in relationship to practical services, mostly unanimously when I've heard it. But, you know, to engage in service throughout the day, you know, suppose you have discretionary time. There's no pots to wash, you finished your japa, you got free time now. So now, oh Lord, please engage me in your service. What am I going to do now with all this discretionary time? So now that's the time you can engage in reading, you can go outside and chant the holy name, some more japa. So perhaps just a clarification on that point, because to be praying to be engaged in service, this simply means to be engaged in shravanam, kirtanam, also padasevanam, which may include all the various menial services that are required. But it's not that that should be exclusively thought of in terms of the menial services. Even when Gauranga Prabhu was here, he gave the same statement and gave practical services as the example again. So I feel that can generate a sort of misconception about what we mean when we're praying for the Maha Mantra. We're actually praying to be engaged in shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam purely. Now we're engaged as sadhakas, and we're praying to be engaged in that way in bhav. That's the goal of our sadhana. So I just wanted to, maybe you can expand upon that, because I don't know, I've heard it from so many senior devotees also, and devotees in general, this point, and I always feel uncomfortable with it, because it generates this whole idea that there's our sadhana, and then there's service. But our sadhana is also seva. It is not that it's not seva.
Actually, you have answered your question to a great extent. But as you were, you know, talking, I was thinking of Haridas Thakur. Namacharya Haridas Thakur. That's the name, the title he got from Lord Chaitanya, because he used to chant. And that was his service. He was chanting and chanting and chanting. And that was it. But the important thing is that, like you said earlier, at what level we are. That is the important part. Now, if I am getting so much of taste out of chanting that I really want to chant more and more and more, then definitely you will chant more. Krishna will engage you that way. So Prabhupada was asked this question once, that Prabhupada, how do we know that, you know, I have taste for chanting? And Prabhupada said, then you will not chant just 16 rounds, you will chant 16,000 rounds. That was Prabhupada's answer. But how many of us have that kind of taste? So until we develop that kind of taste, we have to do other services also. Yeah. Yeah. So that is all part of it. So it is not just, we can, you know, the important thing, what I'm trying to say is that we have so many opportunities. And we could engage ourselves in that. One person, and a very senior devotee sitting here a couple of years, said that there's more to Krishna consciousness than pot washing. I was so, you know, that statement made a lot of impact on me, because sometimes we feel, a lot of people feel that, you know, you are here and you are just, you know, doing the services in the kitchen and things like that, and nothing else. But there is so much more to Krishna consciousness. We can do services in many ways. I mean, Krishna has provided skills to us. We can use those skills in different ways to serve Him. And different people use those skills, those talents, in different ways. Some people have skills for, you know, music, so they sing, they do nice kirtans. Some people have skill of, you know, understanding the scriptures and then sharing it with others. Some people have talent for cooking. They may like to work in the kitchen. So on. So there are so many activities. Prabhupada doesn't say that we have to confine ourselves to one activity. There are so many activities available to us to be part of this process of bhakti. Thank you. Manshu Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for your answer. This point also always makes me very uncomfortable, because it seems to overlook a very important detail, that service means it has to be favorable and for the pleasure of Krishna. So if somebody is chanting his rounds not for the pleasure of Krishna, then presumably he will also do his practical services not for the pleasure of Krishna. So I always understood that the process is that we have to come to the stage of doing whatever service we're doing, chanting or something practical or hearing or studying the shastras, for the pleasure of Krishna. So if you could help expand on this point a little bit, because someone may think, okay, well, I don't have taste for chanting, so let me do something else, and then be okay with that sort of balance in his spiritual life, that, okay, well, I don't have so much taste for shastra or chanting, so let me do something practical, and then think that this is good, and having missed the point that actually, because you don't have taste for hearing and chanting, your other services are also not really services, because you still haven't come to the point of doing it for the pleasure of Krishna purely. And then what one may go on thinking, well, now that I have this nice balance in my spiritual life, I'm good, because I don't have so much taste for chanting, so I chant my 16 rounds, then I do a lot of practical service, and I'm good, having missed the point, you know?
Yeah, I would say a very, you know, short answer to this is that we need to be guided on this. Because on our own, we can make so many assumptions that I am good in this, I am good in that, I am doing this perfectly, and so on. And I will feel comfortable with that, because, you know, my own presumption, it's my own assumption, I am doing it myself, I feel very happy with it, and I say I don't care about anybody else, I am happy with it. There may be devotees like that. who may say, okay, and they may be perfect devotees. They may feel that I'm very good, I'm happy with chanting, I just don't need anything else in life. But they will exhibit other, you know, symptoms as well. We will be able to see that. So now we have to see whether I am at what level I am. Can I decide myself? Can I judge myself? Can I, you know, like a report card it is, that I am chanting. On chanting itself, there can be so many questions. We hear chanting is a process. I mean, the seminars on chanting, japa retreat, we had festival of holy name. So many spiritual masters and sannyasis, they are talking about japa, chanting. Because chanting, we can always improve our chanting. But if I'm happy with what I'm doing, then I will be never able to improve it. So I have to seek guidance from senior devotees in that respect. And that's why it is important to be associated with somebody who can guide us. And guide us in a friendly and objective way. And we have to accept that also, because when we say that the relationship between a spiritual master and a disciple is that whatever spiritual master says, we have to accept it. We cannot disobey his instructions. So why it is said like that? Because I feel, at least I'm talking of myself, that we have that propensity, we have that tendency to revolt. You know, if somebody tells me, do like this, and I don't like that service, or somebody finds shortcomings in me, maybe I respect that person, so I may not say it openly, but internally I will feel that, you know, I'm not like that. Why is he saying that way? But if the other person is, finding out something about me or saying something about me, that means there is a reason for it. I might have exhibited certain, you know, characteristics which might have, you know, led the other person to think that way. So I feel that under the guidance of a senior devotee, we can balance our lives. And you can gradually increase your japa if you have that kind of a taste. Certainly you can do that. I mean, we chant for 2 hours, and then you have real good taste for it, you can chant more. I mean, we have 24 hours in a day. We can chant as much as we want, and we can do other services also at the same time. It is not just that, I will fill up all my time by chanting and I may not engage myself in other services. But if you are really, have developed that taste for chanting, probably your seniors will also say that you are good there, you chant. And your chanting is helpful even for others. Yes.
When I always think about this cry out for service, I never think of it as we're crying out for the literal service, but more so crying out for that attitude of service, which can be reconciled with all 9 processes. Because we're hearing for Krishna, we're chanting for Krishna. So that's kind of how I reconcile it. We're not necessarily saying, please, Krishna, give me some pots to wash, because there's always pots to wash. But if we don't have the attitude of service, it doesn't matter if someone comes up to us or not, because the real question is, what is the internal development? So that's kind of how I reconcile it.
You're absolutely right. It's the mood with which we serve that is important. The attitude with which we serve, it is important. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, thank you for your class, Prabhu. So it brings me into mind the story of Hanuman, that Krishna doesn't necessarily see a particular external service higher or lower, just like Hanuman and the spider incident, where Hanuman, you know, was thinking his service was, you know, superior than Krishna humbled him. But from when I talk to different devotees, it appears that it doesn't matter how externally high or low a particular service is. It's like sometimes devotees just don't want to do their service. Like, I mean, me too, everyone. It's like sometimes you think, if I give Bhagavatam class, I'll be happier. But you talk to devotees, they like, I really don't feel like giving Bhagavatam class. And so my question is that how are we supposed to distinguish between lack of gratitude in our service and whether Krishna is testing our spirit of humility and sacrifice, because if you always like to do your service and there's no resistance, then how can we grow? So how can we tell if, you know, I lack gratitude when doing my service, or rather Krishna is just, you know, putting some pressure on me to, you know, test my spirit of sacrifice?
Cause okay. If I understood your question, I would say that we should be thankful for getting the opportunity to serve. Actually, we say that very often, isn't it? If, you know, somebody tells me to do something and I do it and he says, thank you. And I always say, thank you for engaging me, or thank you for giving me this service. But do I really mean it? So that's the difference. So we have to develop that. When I say, thank you for engaging me, I should actually mean it. Because, again, I say that not so many people get the opportunity to serve the Lord. Only very, very fortunate people get that opportunity. You know, I heard from different people, like, Chicago is, so how many people live in Chicago, and how many people are here in the temple in the morning? Even for big festivals, how many people turn up? So we should realize this, that we are really very fortunate that I'm getting a chance to serve, and develop that mood, and not that, okay, I'm doing it because the temple president told me to do it. That's also true. I mean, we have to do it. So, but we have to develop the mood that, yes, I'm so fortunate that I'm getting this service. If the service is something which, due to some reasons you are not able to do, you can talk to the authorities and explain to them and be honest. That's the important thing. So that will help us in developing the proper mood and also the gratitude. Ms. Carlos Prabhu.
I wanted to say that when we serve, we, and the mood has to be like we're doing this unconditionally, not waiting anything in return, in order for us to really feel that mood of serving. When we serve for waiting something in return, that mood disappears. And that should be another aspect of our association with the other devotees, because whatever we do for the temple, for Krishna, is going to affect in a way or another the other devotees that live within this community. So it's not just when we chant, we are serving Krishna individually, but we live in a community that needs, that has some needs that needs to be addressed. So when we're not sacrificing, quote unquote, our time, our individual comfort, the mood of serving disappears, is what I think.
Yeah, thank you.
Hare Krishna. That's why that's all, if you follow the Prabhupada, he has given from 4 o'clock to evening 8 o'clock, all this time process are included in it. And also, the Prabhupada has given the timing also, like 4 o'clock is Mangala Arati, 7 o'clock Sringara Arati. In between that time, you should do the japa. So your japa will be done 16 round. So there is a schedule for each and everything. So once your japa is done, you are fully, you have full day for the service also. And there is a schedule also available for your service that, hey, today you're going to do the arati. So you don't miss out that time. So you do the japa accordingly. But once somebody is doing japa, we should not go to reach them that, hey, can you do some service? Let him concentrate. Let him concentrate on his japa. And then, Prabhu, please come. Please come after your chanting are done. So sometimes devotee also, when chanting, people try to approach him and try to talk to him. Hey, Prabhu, something like that. At that time also, Prabhu should not, you know, if very important message for 1 second, you can give them. But while you're chanting, do not disturb. This is my own.
Thank you, Prabhu.
But there is a timing for the chanting also. Like you are chanting at 11 o'clock and there are a lot of service available also. That's not good either.
You know, this is a topic which can be, which can go on. But I have a very, you know, a brief answer to this is that if all of us would do our services as, you know, prescribed services by the temple authorities properly, we may not have the need to disturb somebody during the japa time. As it happens, some of us may have forgotten something or, you know, fallen. We had a situation. I'm not trying to, you know, justify, but I'm trying to explain that situations may come when I may have to, you know, for a moment, stop my japa and engage in some other service, because at that time, that service may be very, very crucial. You know, and it cannot wait. The other, you know, japa, I can, if I do half an hour later, is still okay. But there is something which has, suppose, for example, we have to get tulsi plant here in the temple in the morning for tulsi puja. Now, if it is not there at that time, everybody is engaged in japa, what do we do? We have to ask somebody to get it. So, but the if the person whose service it was to bring the tulsi plant here has not forgotten it, then it won't happen. This is just an example. So, I hear from time to time that so-and-so was, you know, assigned this particular service, and that person, for different reasons, you know, maybe something more important came, didn't do that service and did not, you know, let anybody else also know about it. So nobody was doing that service. Then what happens? You have to disturb somebody in whatever they are doing. It is all there, Prabhu. I mean, that's why I'm saying that this can go. It is there. See, one thing which I heard in one of the, you know, classes from Badri Narayan Maharaj. He said it is the temple president's responsibility to make sure to take care of your spiritual development, your spiritual growth. It is his responsibility. And it is also his responsibility to run the temple. So he has to find a proper balance. Himanshu Prabhu is not here. He has to find a proper balance that you get time to do your sadhana, you get time to do your japa, you get time to do your studies, you want to go on Harinam, you go on Harinam, and you go want to go for book distribution. Whatever, you know, he has to make, he has to talk to the individual concerned and make sure that they are making progress spiritually and they are also getting engaged in services. Now, services definition could be different, like we discussed, but we have to also look at from the perspective of the authorities. Any other? Matajis? Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. So you mentioned the point of how rare it is for someone to engage in service. And I see that it's difficult to balance the standards that the temple might have with encouraging someone new to engage in service. For example, someone might come from off the street and want to do some service, and they're requested to put on a sari and tilak, things that they don't even know what they are. And so it kind of hinders their, they become very timid about coming to the temple because they feel like they have to come to some standard that's very difficult. So how do we balance this? And how do we not, I mean, what ends up happening is that they're given some cleaning service, you know, in a corner with some cleaning windows or washing walls, and they're alone and they don't have any they don't have anyone to talk to them, to preach to them, you know. So how do we balance this?
Okay. I think it is the responsibility of the person, first, the person who has invited them in, to properly train them, a newcomer. Now, a newcomer, you see, they are set in, anywhere you go, there are some conditions, correct? If you go to a hospital, you cannot say, oh, I want to do this surgery. You know, you have to be trained for it. Then only you can do the surgery. you want to operate a machine. If you have no qualifications to operate that machine, you will not be able to do it. You will have to learn how to do it. So it is for us who are already there, and if I may use the word senior, like even that person is new, you are one week old, so you are senior to him. So it is for the senior person to train a newcomer. You don't have to engage the person in a service from day one. I mean, let's say somebody comes to the temple and says, I want to do aarti on the altar. I will tell him that it is very nice, but we are short of pujaris, but I still cannot let you do that. So there is a process to reach that level. So our problem is, I'm sharing that with you, I'm just not being politically correct, but I just want to give you the answer, is that we are sometimes short of manpower, and we feel that this is a new person, and he will not be saying no, so we engage him immediately. And that's what we are doing wrong. We have to train that person properly. He has to understand what Krishna consciousness is, what service means, and then engage him or her. And then when it comes to dressing in a particular way, there are reasons for it. I mean, this is why I'm saying, once the person is trained, he or she will also understand that, why do I have to dress like this? On the very first day, certainly it is not a I think we make a mistake if we are doing that. Does it answer your question? Thank you so much. Oh, one more, final last question. Atmanivedan? Oh, you don't know? Okay, let me give you a hint. It's from the family of Prahlad Maharaj. Bali Maharaj. So in the family of demons, we had two such great devotees, whose names we remember very often, Prahlad Maharaj and Bali Maharaj. He's grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. And he offered everything to Lord Vishnu. Do you know that story or no? Okay, good. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.